Okay, now we're going to have announcements out of closed session. Mike Seitz had to leave, and so Marshall will brief us.
I get to do something new today. The report out of closed session, Mr. Seitz had to leave for personal reasons, so the board met in closed session, and we had no reportable action.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's next section, or number seven, is the election of the 2015 board president and board vice president. And so we'll move right ahead on that. So we'll start with spot of president, so I'm taking nominations.
I nominate Mr. Wright.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Any other nominations? No others? We'll close that, open it for public comment. Seeing none, we'll close. So we'll take a vote. Okay. We can do it by acclamation.
Yeah, since there was only one nominee.
Take a vote by acclamation. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay, now let's move on to... Oh, I'm sorry. Vote by acclamation. Okay.
Ohilski, Storm. Ohilski, Ohilski, Storm. 3-2.
3-2, okay. Congratulations, Director Ohilski. I'm going to take a 5-minute break and we'll have these two guys. Well, switch quick. Okay.
Never sat over here before.
Okay, now 7B, appointment of chairpersons and vice chairpersons for the 2015 standing advisory committees and outside agencies by the board president. And I'd like to appoint Emergency Services Committee chairperson Marshall Ohilski, vice chairperson Chuck Sassigna, Finance Advisory Committee chairperson John Eric Storm, vice chairman myself. Utility Advisory Committee, chairperson Lou Tornowski, vice chair John Eric Storm. And for the RAC.
Could you repeat those?
Okay.
ESAC was myself and John, and that's all I got.
Okay. Finance, John Eric Storm, chair, vice chair, me. Utility Advisory, Lou Tornowski, vice chair John Eric. For the RAC, Lou Tornowski. Alternate will be Margaret Faulkner, our utilities compliance technician. Our ISJ representative will be Marshall Ohilski. Morro Bay National Estuary Program, Marshall. The Los Osos Fire Safe Council, myself. CAPSLO will be Chuck Sassigna. And then LOCAC will continue with the rotation where each board member will attend on a rotational basis. Oh, okay. Director Sassigna, you're first up on LOCAC. Okay. And, yes, we will now have public comment on the appointments.
Good evening, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. Considering that water is the most important issue in this district right now, well, besides money, I really think Mr. Sassina has a much broader grip and grasp on the water situation. He studied it for years, and I would much rather see him than Mr. Storm in that position, mostly because his knowledge is so important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keith Weimer. I second Lindy's recommendation. Chuck should be on the utility committee. He has the most experience in the area, and he's a biologist, past CSD director, and member of the Los Osos Sustainability Group. He's looked closely at basin studies and the assumptions supporting them. He will be able to ask the right questions to ensure the most cost-effective solutions to the biggest problem our utility faces: how to cost-effectively preserve our soil water supply by stopping seawater intrusion. I also recommend against Mr. Ohilski, Director Ohilski, remaining the sole director attending ISJ meetings. I think I recommend Chuck as a representative at the ISJ. Director Ohilski's comments and actions on the board, both on and off the board, show that he prioritizes development over stopping seawater intrusion. The first priority for the basin plan must be to stop seawater intrusion. Losing the basin will make living here unaffordable for most residents. He is simply not the best advocate for the majority of the community who want this basin plan to stop seawater intrusion as quickly and effectively as possible so that people who live here know they have a sustainable water supply. I recommend Chuck as the ISJ rep, again, because of his science background and because he has looked into the issues. Director Ohilski has obviously not negotiated very effectively for a strong conservation or recycle to get in-depth analysis, sometimes from experts who are community members, and it just needs to be changed back to once per month. If it's a quarterly, some issues won't even be looked at by the committees.
Thank you. Next.
As long as we're talking about committees, my name's Al Barrow. We started back in 1998 forming this community service district. At that time, there was 18 advisory committees. So we've cut this back way back, and I agree with the prior speaker that there are very intelligent minds that offer information to the board at no charge, and those are often worth considering and certainly are helpful in approaching the decisions that you have to make. So I would say that would be a critical issue. And, you know, I would like to also ask, how was this list generated of these committee heads? I heard no discussion, no election, or anything like that. It just sounded like something that you might have come up with yourself, Mike. I don't know. And it just seems like this, since we're only meeting quarterly with the committees, it would seem to be worth considering. You know, certainly Chuck Sassenia is by far the most experienced member up here in terms of years on the board and on committees, and very well informed, and has a good background in public service with Caltrans. So I think you might want to think about the Water Committee, at least. That's a very essential committee, is to have a more experienced member. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lynette Tornosky, Los Osos. Maybe you could clarify for the audience. I think it was left up to the discretion of the chairperson of the committees as to whether or not to do these meetings quarterly. So I am thinking people are not understanding that, and maybe I have it wrong, but I think that's what I heard. Also, I would support Marshall Ohilski to stay on the ISJ. We have our district engineer as part of the ISJ, who's very competent in water matters, and I feel that a legal mind is what's needed, because what I heard yesterday at the RAC, even the county's having a really hard time deciphering what the legality is of the three new laws that were passed. And it seems to me that somebody who understands legal issues needs to be on that ISJ, because if we're not on top of that, that's where we're really going to get messed up. Thanks.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Board. My name is Bill Moylan. I live in Los Osos, and I'm curious as to why you would... I think Chuck would be fine on the Emergency Services Committee. I think he would do an excellent job, but I think you're really wasting his talent by putting him there instead of on the Utilities Commission, simply because of his experience and his dedication to doing what is the best thing for the community. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Richard Margetson. That's the first I've heard that the committee chairs actually were the ones that determined that we should go to quarterly meetings. I'd like to hear you all admit that. But other than Marshall, Chuck's got the most experience on this board. He was elected in the recall, and then what everybody forgets, and which was part of the campaign for the last election, this premise out there that that board was completely voted out of office. There wasn't one member of that board that was voted out of office. Chuck and Steve were both reelected. John Fouché decided not to run. Julie and Lisa decided not to run after their first term, those terms didn't coincide. But he's got 5 years and 3 months experience. And Chuck is part of the group, I believe myself included, other members that are here tonight, that has bridged the gap with the Water Board to make them more receptive to Los Osos issues over the last 3 or 4 years. 10 years ago, they were shutting microphones off on the dissent, his placards. He ran on, it's about the water. And if you look at the vote totals from this election to when he was elected in the recall, there's very few vote difference. So after all of this, this community still has faith in Chuck to represent this community in their best interest in those issues that he ran on. And he ran on 10 years ago.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm a former board member on this board. And I served on the ISJ for a time until John Seitz and the ISJ participants decided that the decision makers were not to be in the ISJ meetings. That stayed that way. No board member was on the ISJ until Marshall made his way on to the ISJ committee or into those meetings. And when I raised the issue with John, he stopped it, and Marshall went back off. John tragically got sick, Mike Seitz came in, and Marshall ended up back in those meetings. The ISJ is important to each and every board member. Whatever one knows, you all should know. And while I do believe Chuck is more qualified to sit in there, I think from a fairness standpoint and how you each interact with the constituents in this community, none of you should be there, or all of you should be there.
Thank you. Any more speakers? Okay, seeing none, we'll close our public comment. In regards to the quarterly committees, there is nothing that will preclude having other meetings if the board has items that need to be discussed, and we will call committee meetings. The quarterly is set up on a hard schedule on items that need to be addressed, and we've had issues in the past where some items have slipped. And so that's why we did the hard quarterly committee meetings. As far as the appointments, they're going to stand. Thank you. Any comments from the...
No, I do have one comment.
Yes.
If you could...
No, we'll just open for discussion.
No, if you could just clarify, the board appointments, the committee appointments are done by the board
president.
So the question came out in the beginning of the public comment how these appointments were made, but it's the board president that has the discretion to make these appointments. The actual committee members are appointed, nominated, and approved by the board members. But as far as the chairs, that is the discretion of the president. So I just wanted to clarify that for the record.
Any discussion? Yes.
Yeah, I really don't know much about CAPSLO, being the representative on CAPSLO. I'm not sure. It kind of feels like being marginalized again. I do feel with 5 years of experience on this board that an alternative to the Emergency Services Committee, as much as I hold that committee in high regard, I do think that I have things to offer the Utility Advisory Committee. I'm not saying I want to be the chair, but I would like to be one of the two members on that Utility Advisory Committee. The ISJ, I think continuity might be important there. But CAPSLO, which I know nothing about, to be marginalized, I just kind of feel that way. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none. Go ahead. Lou?
Are the committees limited to having two members of the board?
Yes.
Is there still some microphone for us?
He's new.
The question I asked was that the committee is limited to two members of the board.
Yes.
And the answer was yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's a Brown Act issue, so unless the entire board, so you have a maximum of two.
It's my understanding that if a director chooses to go to a committee meeting for which they are not one of the appointed members, you can't even make public comment.
That's correct.
Since I am versed in Brown Act, that's the issue. You could attend. Another board member can attend, but they cannot make comments, nor...
We probably take... It would be hopeful to expect it to be back online in 3 months if they were to start working on it right away. My request is that our council sets up a letter of requirement that they give restitution and repair that well and the panel, or at least give us the money to do it, however the contract is going to be released. But that was a $60,000 improvement in that well, and that's gone. And I'm damn tired of this. And if you people do not address this formally, you're not going to have another meeting for 3 months. I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's what it sounds like. So how are you going to take care of this business? Well, the chief said that if you have an issue like this, the only reason that he approved this quarterly meeting process, that is the fire chief, is that you could call an emergency meeting or some kind of meeting to address these kind of issues. And certainly a 750-gallon minute potential well, I mean, we had to open up an alternative well in South Bay, and that was like ended up with 100 gallons a minute or something like that. So we haven't really got ourselves in a good position for our water supply. And I would ask that you ask council to draft a letter for the PG&E company to respond formally to when and how they are going to restore our well. And that's a big issue for me. This is a water district.
Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Bill Moylan, and I'd like to know, Mr. Wright, how you chose the committee members for the various committees. I have 3 minutes, and I'll give you 2 minutes and 50 seconds to explain that, please.
Okay. That's already been addressed. Thank you. Next speaker.
I want to, my name is Keith Weimer. I want to echo the sentiment of the last speaker. I'm disappointed that you won't share your reasoning, Mr. Wright, or Chairman Wright. My comment. First, I want to ask the board what happened to the basin plan draft the public was supposed to see last month. I also want to ask whether it is true spray fields on the Andre property are being considered as a way to dispose of recycled water. You know this was rejected by the Planning Commission and the Coastal Commission. The rumor is credible, given that 140 acre feet of recycled water from the project doesn't seem to have anywhere to go at this point. Farmers don't seem to want it except to convert dryland farming, which has no benefit on seawater intrusion. Also, the ISJ parties recently released the Cleath-Harris report on creek discharge, an option that is only slightly better, even if there are not the uncertainties I mentioned with this study. This makes me think the ISJ parties are looking for an option to spray fields. However, all of these options, each of these options is a very poor option for dealing for using recycled water. The LOWWP CDP says the water must be used to maximize the sustainability of the basin, including offsetting seawater intrusion as much as possible. This CSD needs to insist that the basin plan supports the coastal development permit, and you should not sign off on the plan until recycled water use does maximize the benefits on seawater intrusion. CSD must also not sign off on the basin plan until the county maximizes conservation by spending all the $5 million to significantly improve the current conservation program. The washer replacement program is 92% below targets. The retrofit, the toilet and faucet retrofit is 50% below targets. The last flyer didn't even mention the $300 rebate is possible for hot water recirculators. I really recently applied for the rebate, and the county employee processing it said I was the first one to do so. The Lasso Sustainability Group provides ways the basin plan can maximize basin sustainability, and we've submitted those to you. I will once again submit those, but my printer wasn't working this evening. You'll see those in your email in the coming days. I'm again submitting reasons. The last seawater intrusion study likely understates the problem, even though it shows the problem to be extremely serious. If I have time, I'll submit a critique of the Cleath-Harris analysis of the creek discharge, and I'll be submitting recommendations for the rate study changes. By the way, did the
General Manager, Kathy Kivley, I don't think she's brought one thing to this board except more expenses, more office staff, shorter office hours. We've been asking what the list of the damages. This county sewer project did major damage to a lot of our water infrastructure pipes in the CSD area. And we have asked and asked and asked, and Ms. Kivley can't seem to get this together for us. If the list of those damages has been turned into the county, there will be a time when we can no longer get refunded for that those damages. And we can't afford to pay for damages that the county did to us. Those are issues that, like so many, that I don't understand why we don't have a balanced budget. I think it's time to review the purpose of the CSD, because obviously it looks like you're self-poisoning yourself by inactivity. Having meetings once a month was not enough. Having them every 3 months? I don't know. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. I wish you would really freshen up a little bit. I don't know why the CSD has to continue trying to nosedive, but you have potential with both Lou and I think Mr. Cicina, and even John Eric Storm could stand up and jump in to save a community, to save a water basin. So I encourage you to let Ms. Kivley go. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Not much of a room to come into. My timer's timing. I haven't said anything. How does that work?
I get go ahead and start.
I get 3 minutes to speak, not have my timer go off 10 seconds early. Well, I don't come here anymore because it's really a waste of my time. But I was really happy today when I saw that finally there is a board at this county who's going to go after the attorney that represents the Oceano Sanitation District.
Can we get the name for the record? Pardon me.
The clock started. I don't have to tell you. You know who I am, Marshall. I'm not saying you're not stupid. They know who I am. Really, Marshall? Come on. Grow up. Really don't care if you know. I don't have to tell you. You need to read that.
You're eating up his time. Please be quiet.
Please be quiet. I get some time back here. Jeez, lady, whoever you are. Anyway.
Please, in the audience.
If I have some time back, I haven't said anything, and I've lost a minute.
30 seconds.
Okay, I'm waiting. It's not there. Anyway, here's the deal. Today in the newspaper, I read an article that Oceano is going to go after the Wallace lawsuits, or the Wallace agency. What I've noticed, I've been here for a very long time, and when the CSD was formed, we also were straddled with sites, and we were also straddled with Wallace. Mike, you and I had many discussions over the last few years before we had our falling out that you were going to have an open investigation. You told me that many, many times to lay off of it, but I said, no, no, no. Well, now you have an opportunity to coattail onto somebody a little bit braver than you. And I realize that Jim Hill is 40 miles away, but I think we need to have a district agendized meeting to discuss the contract with both Wallace and both sites. I believe we have lost millions and millions and millions of dollars for the failure of this. I don't remember the last time we reevaluated these contracts and discussed which way they went and if the community was happy with them. I've been involved for a very long time, and I don't believe that ever happened. The second thing is that we need to address the fact that those two agencies, two groups, have been here since the beginning. We have had failure upon failure. Is there something wrong, Marshall? You're making a face. Failure consistently in this community with both the agencies helping us and directing us. And why, if we're trying to turn and start something new, do we not go after that and find something wrong? We have an extremely incompetent general manager. And I have stated that and wrote you letters and wrote letters to the editor, so I'm not hiding behind anything. But we have extremely poor letters and people who are helping the community. And I think they're taking the community's money. Now, Chuck's on the board. Maybe that's going to change. I hope so. But I think the community needs to realize we can do better. We just have to, I don't know, grow up a little bit and not be part of the good old boys club. And if this issue with Mr. Seitz comes down, that he did, in fact, manipulate the records in support of John Wallace, that has to be a tattletale that if he does it in one place, he's going to do it in another. And I'm sorry that Mr. Seitz isn't here because I would direct this questioning at him. But he didn't seem to come today. I don't know why, maybe because of this article. But CSD needs to do better for the community. They're not watching my money.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Of them for years. When Marshall served as president of the board, he instituted an item on the agenda that would answer the public's questions the following month if he didn't have the answers today. I'd like to see that come back. We haven't seen that for a time, and I do miss that because, again, these continual questions keep coming back, and until they're answered, we're going to keep asking. What are the district's damages associated with the collection system from the wastewater project? What's the value of the water loss associated with the damage to the infrastructure of the district and the wastewater project? What is the impact to staff answering telephone calls from concerned citizens about the project? You were supposed to log all that. Where is that today, and is it too late to recover and put in claims with the county? I know AT&T had a fiber optic line damaged. They had an $80,000 claim. Where is your claim? The creek dishwater, creek discharge report is out. It was done last March, for crying out loud. Why haven't we seen a presentation? Spencer Harris should be here talking to us, explaining it, interacting with us. Back in the day, we had PowerPoint presentations with Rob and Spencer. It's quiet around here, and there's too much to talk about. The question about bankruptcy. I heard throughout the campaign that bankruptcy was over. I heard it when we did our budget.
Thank you.
Bankruptcy's over. How come it still keep ending up on your agenda?
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Richard Margaretson, you guys are becoming so predictable, it's actually funny. I told Chuck he would be on emergency services right after he got elected. That would be the committee you would appoint him to, because I knew you wanted to nullify his input on this board. You know, but maybe on emergency services, Mike, he'll be able to bring forward the issues that when you were on the committee, there were a number of issues that the committee year after year wanted answers to and wanted resolved and wanted studied. And when you were appointed to this board, you stated that to that committee, do you want me to stop?
Please. I think that if the audience member, if you cannot control yourself, I'm going to ask you to leave. You understand? Thank you. Okay, and he's left. Well, I know. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, Richard. Okay, continue. Yes, give him time back.
That when you were on the committee, you said when you got on the board, you would bring forward on their behalf. None of those things have been even remotely brought forward to this board, asked to be studied, asked for a resolution to. So maybe Chuck, with some prompting and some of his own interests and concerns, can get those issues eventually resolved or at least looked at. I'm also curious as to how this decision was made. And, Marshall states that it's the chair's prerogative. I don't believe you made that decision all by yourself. And I haven't asked Chuck this question, but were you polled as to which committees you were interested in? Were any of you polled? Were there any serial meetings about how this was all going to work out? Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt that that's the case. I don't think you came up with this all by yourself sitting at home. It's too obvious. And for clarification, early in the process, since this is the first meeting, and I've seen a number of emails during the campaign, I've seen a number of emails since the election results, for clarification and for those that went through the history, Chuck didn't bankrupt this district. Stan, Richard, and Gordon bankrupted this district by starting the project 1 month before recall. When they were told by this community what would happen if the three directors unseated them, the project would be
doing an education and outreach program on cleaning up after your dogs so that the poop doesn't go into the waterways. They have a new website, which I'd never heard about before, called slowscoopspoop.com. And they had some really nice graphics.
Lovely.
Showing. It was really cute. Actually, it was. And I was thinking it might be very wise of us, or at least LOCAC, or both of us, perhaps, to put on our website the website that the county has put up regarding this issue. I remember a meeting, a CSD meeting, probably in 2007, 2008, where the people who take care of the Elfin Forest, I believe it's called SWAP, came and gave us a presentation on how much poop they pull out of the Elfin Forest every year, and it was 1,000 pounds, as I recall. And that, to me, is just unacceptable, that there should be so much waste going into our bay. So I would like to give Ms. Kively the name of the lady who gave the report and her phone number and the website, if you guys are interested in linking that to our website, because I think it's been mentioned many times that dog poop is a problem, that people are not cleaning up after their dogs, and since we're so close to the bay, it's really not helpful for the health of the bay or the health of us. So, anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Gretchen Clark, Los Osos. First of all, I'd like to second Ms. Harper's remarks about my confidence in this board. I really hope that going forward, we can have less rancor directed at you. And I would also like to say that we would like to participate in the forward and proactive actions to save our aquifer. At our own house, we have built a whole rainwater catchment system. We got 400 gallons in 1 hour off our roofs with rain gutter collection. And we think that it would be great to start something where we could spread the word, perhaps with a Facebook page or something, and maybe we could cooperate with the CSD on this effort. And in that same vein, there is a seminar at the Slow Botanical Garden this Saturday on rainwater catchment systems, if anybody is interested. We are really, really serious about conserving water in our household, and we really want to see this be one of the major things that could maybe bring some more community positivity to our area. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment for items not on the agenda, and we'll move on to administrative and committee reports. I'm sorry, you make a comment?
I just wanted to make two brief comments, if I could. The question, and we did have item on the agenda previously about items raised before that have not been addressed, so that's something we may want to consider for addition of future agendas, but the basin plan, this has been an ongoing process, and I just want to clarify, this is litigation. This isn't just people sitting down in a room and trying to figure out what's best for everybody. It's a collaborative effort. There's four parties that are equally represented in this litigation. There's the CSD, Golden State, Sunset Terrace, and the county. We sit at a table, all four parties, and we try to come up with a collaborative effort to resolve the water situation. There's not, I mean, the plan's not going to please everybody, obviously. No plan does please everybody, but we're doing our best efforts to come up with a collaborative effort that satisfies and helps to address the water issues in our basin. So I just wanted to clarify, you know, it's been ongoing for almost 8 years now, and we're real close to the basin plan release. Real close to going back to the court and getting our stipulated judgment and having an adjudicated water basin. So, and we've appreciated all the input that we've gotten during this process, but it is a process and it is a collaborative effort. And then if I could go off task on the dog thing for just a quick minute, since Lynette brought it up. You know, people, as the chairman of the executive committee for Morro Bay National Estuary Program, I just want to bring it to everybody's attention. The dog poop problem is a significant problem. We
We'll put it on the February agenda for a report on that. Because it's not finalized.
Well, I mean, is it up? Is it down? Is it work operating? Is that true? I mean, something happened to it, obviously.
Right.
And we don't talk about it until February.
Why does Mr. Barrow know and not the rest of you?
Okay, thank you. Any others? Okay, let's move on to the administrative and committee reports. Fire department report. Sorry.
That's all right. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Once again, appreciate the opportunity to come here and give you a chief's report for, this is for November 2014, but before I start, on behalf of Chief Lewin, CAL FIRE, County FIRE, we'd like to congratulate the new incoming president and the vice president, as well as the new members of the board, Director Sasania, Director Tarnowski, and happy re-election there, Director Storm. Chief Lewin wanted me to make sure you knew that we have your full support, or he has your you have his full support. Phew, got it out. All right. Again, November 2014. In the month of November, we responded to 95 calls, and two of those are simultaneous calls. Both of those were required advanced life support. Of the 95 calls, 62 were medical aids, 30 requiring advanced life support. No CAL FIRE firefighters or CSD reserves rode into the hospital with the San Luis ambulance during the month of November. Three incidents reported as traffic collisions. There were 11 fires. Statistically, month of November, we at Station 15 topped the number for annually for several other years. It's been a very busy year for us, and I'll give you a better report on that here coming up, but I can tell you that 2014 was, I think, our second busiest year in the last 10. Company 15 came back a total of 9 times to support the full-time staff. Administratively, we hosted a kickoff meeting for a FEMA assistance to firefighters grant up at the fire station on November 10th. There were many CAL FIRE, County FIRE, Pismo Beach, Avila Beach, South Bay Fire Department personnel there. We had a good group. I'll give you a better report on that in the coming months, but I can tell you that currently we have verbal supports from Congressman Capp's office and Senator Boxer's office, and I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to get this grant. There is a number of training items that we went through. I won't go through them all, but I will tell you that we are in the process of hiring firefighters again. We had one left over from the summertime hiring. We put five through a oral after a physical ability test. They've all cleared their backgrounds. They've all cleared their physical examinations. Of those, total of 6 now, 4 of them are firefighters that will be able to go straight onto the floor, and they should be ready to go here in the next coming months. One of them is attending the PCF Academy, and one of them is attending the Allen Hancock Academy, and they'll be ready in the spring. The other training event I wanted to detail is that in November on the 11th, Engine 215 with a number of your reserve firefighters attended a live structure fire burn with me on Camp San Luis. It was hosted by some arson investigators, and so they got a lot of good training on both vehicle firefighting, structure firefighting, and large structure, commercial structural firefighting. There's a number of other items in here. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer your questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Chuck.
Chief Anaris, I saw a press release, I think it was today, something from the insurance industry, some rating council that more or less gave a more favorable rating of our fire department. And it seemed like it was the kind of thing that could result in lower insurance premiums, both for the district and maybe even for homeowners, I think the press release said. People contact your insurance carrier and let them know about this.
Okay.
I guess I'd never realized that better service could mean reduced premiums, and so it begs the question, if we could have even better service, maybe with $180,000 in tax revenues that somewhat unjustly comes from Golden State customers to the fire department. Maybe we could get that rating even higher and premiums even lower. So that's just a thought that went through my mind when I saw that, and congratulations. Good work.
I would, you refer to the Insurance Services Organization press release that went out from the district today. That is a multifaceted press release.
Okay, so, Blue?
To
on Chuck's comments.
Close the mic.
Microphone. Okay.
How's that? I wanted to append the comments of Chuck's about the raped insurance companies. So all it has done is a press release. Is there any direct contact by somebody to the main carriers or what have you? I mean.
Well, mechanically, yeah. Mechanically, I notified the company I represent, but also it is it does go from the ISO to the insurance carriers, and they will then implement the rate change.
Right. The press release recommends that homeowners, property owners, basically people who have insurance in the district, contact their insurance company and see if there's any benefit from the reduction. And right. So we would recommend that as well.
You know, the one area that wasn't really impacted is our Zone I, which is the other side of the creek out toward Clark Valley. They are still in a higher zone, and that has more to do with the lack of fire hydrants.
Fire hydrants, yes, the water restrictions, and time away from the fire
time
station.
From the station also. So, okay. Any other questions?
I know you kind of glossed over this, but could you just explain to us a little bit more what kind of grants that you're talking about as far as the FEMA grants and how they would benefit this district?
The FEMA grant that we submitted, the kickoff meeting was just to start it, and you'll hear more in the December chief's note, but we ended up submitting a request for approximately $35,000, and part of that was for new personal protective equipment for our firefighters. I asked for 30 sets. There's 25 firefighters up there on a day-to-day basis that belong to the CSD. It costs approximately $1,900 to outfit a firefighter in wildland firefighting gear. And so we asked for 25 sets that allowed the on-duty folks to go out to a call, bring it back, wash it, put another set on, and go back out. The other thing we asked for was a security gate. We'd like to extend the fence up the parking lot and across the driveway so that it would be a keypad or a wireless on the other side and a door opener so that the engines could come in and out, but it would allow some protection to keep people from coming to the back of that. Again, we feel very confident that we'll get at least part of that. We'll see how it goes. There'll be a lot of people submitting.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments?
The only other thing I would add to that, just how you asked how it affects the district, we will be on the hook for, if we are successful with this grant, we'll be on the hook for 5% of that, and that will be budgeted in the mid-year adjustment coming up.
I wasn't concerned about how much we're on the hook for. I want to know what we're getting.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Thank you, Phil. Okay. Utilities Department report.
Happy New Year, and welcome, Chuck and Lou, thank you, and Director Storm, too. I'm Margaret Faulkner, and I'm the Utilities Compliance Technician for the Los Osos CSD, and I'm here to report on the Utilities Department operations for November 2014. Our water production for November was 14.5 million gallons, approximately, and it represents a decrease by approximately 17% when compared to last year. The consumption for the period October 13th, 2014 through December 11th, 2014, was approximately 15.2 million gallons, and this generated a revenue of $145,977. Now, at the bottom of your first sheet, there are two tables. One breaks down the production of each well site, another provides runtime hours of the pump motors, and then it compares it to last year. So
There's also an additional tables and charts to support all the numbers that I'm giving you. I wanted to remind you that California is still in a drought. We had a little bit of rain, not much, but in November our operations crew measured 1.56 really inches of rain out at our facilities yard. And this brings the total rainfall from January to November up to 7.5 inches. So I keep it on a calendar scale. There's also a rain calendar, and I just do this for reporting purposes to our state. I'll be able to provide you the whole calendar year on the next board agenda. Systems at Bayridge and Vista Doral. So we do require, are required, I should say, to report semi-annual reports on the, to the regional board. So we did that for May through October 2014 and submitted that on time. So I'm available now for any questions that you might have.
Go ahead, Lou. Yes.
I had on page 2 about the water conservation rebate program.
And yes.
Is that still ongoing until when? And there is this website and this link. Is there other kind of marketing outreach to potential participants?
Yes, this is...
I'm catching up, so...
That's okay. Yes, the county's rebate program is still available. In fact, they're going to be expanding it through 2017, and it'll be on their next Board of Supervisors agenda. And then we have our water conservation, where it's starting to go into phase 2 on our own program.
So do we know what the non-participation rate is amongst potential homeowners participating?
I'm sorry, I don't follow what you're asking.
How many people have availed themselves of this potential thing compared to how many could?
Okay, as far as, well, there are some people who have already retrofitted, but they haven't, they're waiting until, you know, it's time to hook up. So, but what the county has, the last numbers I had, we had in our water service area, there were about 1,100 homes that had already done it.
Okay.
And got rebates and things.
Good.
Okay. Any other comments? Yes, Chuck.
I want to say thanks for always providing the historical data, because it helps us, especially right
now.
This
is cool.
Year by year, we've got to have it. I'm a little confused about water production numbers, though. On the text, it talks about a total of 14.5 million gallons, but the table right below that for 2014 kind of comes up with 17.1691. And I'm
Is there a typo? Let me look at the table that's connected to it.
The second table, the well production, well log summaries, agrees with the text. But that little table right below there in the bottom half of that page kind of seems...
I accidentally typed in last year's total.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, numbers are given two different places, so I kind of levered that.
Yeah, let's see. When was I doing this? Okay, December 22nd.
Okay.
For the holidays. Thank you. Might have been a little bit busy.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments? I do have one question. You're saying that we use the landfill for our drought numbers when April comes around. And do we know that? Because there is a difference between here and out there.
Yeah, I know. Rainfall is different every place in Los Osos. But for our drought contingency plan, the one that Rob Miller put together, that one they used the landfill. Yeah. But what we measure down at the yard is just as a requirement
right.
on our water permit.
Yeah, I was trying to think back, and I think in the paper, because that's in the paper, they report from the landfill,
mm-hmm.
and I think we were 5 inches plus something. It wasn't very much.
Okay.
So there is a difference between, you know, the landfill, and that's what we have to live by when April rolls around.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Seeing no more questions, thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Okay, General Manager report.
Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board.
As you well know, I only worked 10 days this last month because I was gone for 2 weeks. In that 10-day period, between the accountant and I, we worked on the state controller's compensation and special district report. We are still working on that and trying to finalize it at the earliest date. In addition, I attended several ISJ meetings as well as conference calls and worked on the update to the basin management plan. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? No? Okay, thank you. The legal counsel, he had to leave due to family emergency, so we move on to item E, Los Osos Community Advisory Council. We have a representative.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Vicki Millage, I'm chairperson of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council.
2 meetings in a row we have you.
It could become a habit. We had no meeting in November and combined all the agenda items from November and December into one meeting, which meant that we had actually 7 items on the agenda. However, we had no quorum, so we could make no recommendations to the planners. If you find this helpful, I will bring all the details on all of the projects for every report. Thought I'd try it tonight. Okay.
Well, I think for me, I think if the projects that are directly are in our water district would be helpful, just to know which ones.
Okay, I can do that. Our next meeting will be January 22nd. Mr. Sasena will welcome you there. We still need candidates for our districts 2 and 3, and I want to thank you for continuing your presence at LOCAC. And before you ask, I still have no news regarding the community plan update. You will be the second people to hear after I do. Are there any questions?
Well, I did attend the last LOCAC, and what the planner's name again is?
Carrie Brown.
Carrie. There's some hope that the initial draft is early February?
Possibly.
Some.
A glimmer of.
Yeah, since hope. We've been having some hope since last June.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I have calls into her.
Thank you.
Didn't want to come tonight with no information, but that's what I have.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Seeing none, thank you. Okay, next we have the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report.
Hello, good evening. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for having me on the agenda. I've just got just a couple of things coming up. We've got our installation and awards dinner for the chamber. That's going to be on Friday, the 23rd, at 6 p.m. It's going to be at the Los Osos Valley Memorial Park. We're also going to be honoring Citizen of the Year, which was John Lindsay from PG&E. Our Volunteer of the Year was Simon Van Bearden, and Business of the Year was Los Osos Rexall. So it's open to the public. Just get a hold of you can go to the chamber website or just give Dawn at the chamber a call, and it starts at 6 p.m. on January 23rd. The other thing we've got going on, we've got the chamber is sponsoring a Tuscany tour, a trip to Italy in October, and there's going to be a presentation at Sea Pines Golf Course, Sea Pines Golf Resort, on Wednesday, January 14 at 5:30 p.m. The trip is October 27. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much, Steve. Okay, number G is Director's Announcements of District and Community Interest and Reports on Attendance at Public Meetings, Training Programs, Conferences, or Seminars. Do we have any of those? Seeing none, okay. Okay, we'll go on to number 10. Before we have public comment on items on the administrative and community reports, any board member wish to pull any of the consent agenda items for consideration? Okay, seeing none, thank you. We'll now open public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Alvaro Los Osos. First thing, I think we should always keep in mind that the fire department is there for us 24/7, and we appreciate what they do. They're good. And second thing is a point of order, if I may, and that is that when people are interrupting each other in the audience, it's very difficult for all of us. So I would ask that you, Director Wright, would take a little bit stronger control of that and let the chairman of the board talk to the people. I almost got out, went outside with someone because they were just so hot about it, and I can't sit down now because I'm pretty riled about it. I don't think it helps, but I think when you talk about the minutes, which are, I mean, not the minutes, the board, there's an item on the agenda that deals with the board rules and regulations, that you can address that. And I would suggest that when somebody speaks out, you warn them right up front, you know, because these people, there was a bunch of back and forth going on. And there's obviously a big divide between one set of opinions and another set of opinions, and it's gotten very emotional. And I think the board has got a more conservative policy than he had in the past, and it seems to some of us that it's...
Come up with a, you know, a name for a campaign. To me, it was all fluff, and I've been trying to follow it, but, of course, there's no following it if you can't give us a report to tell us what the benefit is. I noticed that there were many posters put out, and they no longer exist anywhere around town except one person's house. At the time, we were asking if we could have some accountability as to what the outcome results we were asking for. And at this point, it looks to me like we just burned through $17,000 and gave another gift to another part of this group that seems to get contracts from RCSD quite often. And then I do believe that until you issue a will serve to do any construction in Los Osos. Anyway, on the LOCAC report, I think it's important for you to see everybody that is building in this water basin, because we are part of a basin. We're not all by ourselves. So that's what we keep trying to urge you, is that this is a matter of everybody working together. And by thinking that you only want to hear about the building that goes on in this water district, I think you're, again, confusing the fact that we need to be participatory in the entire basin. If we could get an update on the water conservation program, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Julie Tacker, the chief. If you did, I missed it, didn't talk about the shark attack. I think that was very exciting, and we made national news. The one question I had was, with the helicopter, does the helicopter land on the AT&T parking lot, or did it actually land on the beach with sand in the air? I wondered how that worked, and what would be the optimum place for a helicopter to land out there. Something that came up that really wasn't part of the report, but when Chuck asked about the Palisades well, I think it's the job of the general manager to send a memo to the board immediately when something like that happens, because you need to be informed before us, and to hear about it out on the street, or in this case, Mr. Barrow bringing it to the podium, is very backwards, so that the facts are laid out appropriately, so there's no rumor. You want to know, we all want to know exactly what happened. There really wasn't a report about the South Bay well and the blending station. You do have an item on your consent calendar to finalize the contract and cut the final check. But how's it going? Does it work? What are the lab results? What is the water quality? What is the brine quality? Do you have a contract for disposal of brine? That's a $100,000 a year expenditure. Does it work? That's a report. And that's something interesting, because that's where you're going to get water currently to offset the Palisades well. That was the plan. Kathy mentioned the compensation report to the state. I believe that's due by the end of October. February 1st? December 31st. Well, that's late. I know you got the letter in October. The data is all there when you close the books, so I don't quite understand why there's any delay. And if you miss the final, there's a $5,000 penalty. I don't think we're budgeted for that. As for the water conservation program, I don't like the publicity part. I think facts and data are better publicity than shiny posters. You are a government agency. Did you get permits for signs? Did you go through the county process?
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I keep asking the questions, Chuck, and I think you were entitled to an answer about the well. I don't know why you don't have the same rights as any other director to get a question, at least a status on where it is at this point. If there's no final, that's fine, but if it's out there in the community. Chuck, you also mentioned a discrepancy in the yesterday or late Tuesday. Did everybody have an opportunity to go through these? Really? Did you actually study them and compare them to any of the other information that you were provided tonight? Here's an example. Look at the revenue in the utility manager's report for the first 6 months. Look at the revenue in the water department budget through December 31st. See if there's any discrepancy there. You might also want to check some of the salary and benefit allocations to the different departments and what's been charged off through the first 6 months. That's why you have a finance committee. The finance committee was formed at the beginning of the district to have oversight and help you with your fiduciary responsibility. You're not meeting that duty at this point by any stretch of the imagination. This analysis gives you no comparison to what happened last year. You have not seen in months any fund analysis, checking account balances, anything. And when's the audit coming forward? When's the audit coming forward?
Okay, thank you.
You can produce these documents, but you can't fake it.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring them back to the board. Any discussion?
I would note that I did notice some of the same problems that Mr. Margetson mentioned with the financials. I mean, that was a lot of information to get dumped on us a day before a meeting and by email. I guess that's part of the cost as we print all this out ourselves if we want to look at it earlier than the day of the meeting. But Bay Ridge Estates, Vista de Oro, some of these funds were showing no personnel expenditures, no salaries, no wages spent, and yet we're spending money on repairs and maintenance, vehicle maintenance and repair. Who's doing the maintenance if our people aren't?
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Lou.
I'll learn after 3.5 hours, maybe.
In addition to noting the expenditures and the patterns and so on, as Chuck has described, I sort of wish we had a standard one-pager that summarizes when a project that maybe we contract for, or it's a grant or whatever, what's accomplished in terms of outcomes that we're all interested in not a horrible, complex, bureaucratic way, but something that we could all sort of have a standard way of doing that. I don't have an answer for that. It sort of bothered me about some of the things that were brought up by folks out there and some of the things that I was reading. This is not a big deal. I think we could do. I'm happy to sort of work on that.
Okay. So noted.
Communicate what we do with the money we spend that has impact on our community and our lives.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, I need a motion to accept.
I'll move that we receive and file the administrative reports and receive and file and approve the items on the consent agenda requiring approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Vote, please.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we move on to general action items. And the first one on here is the annual review of the board bylaws and rules of decorum. And General Manager Kibley.
Yes, thank you very much. Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. The item before you is in accordance with Section 14.1 of the Board of Directors bylaws and rules that you will review annually, the first regular meeting in January. The existing bylaws and make any recommendations or changes at that time, and that at the first meeting in February, these appropriate changes and recommendations will be brought back for your review. During the year, I took comments from several of the board members, various board members, with regards to several of the items. The one there are two recommended changes here. One deals with compensation, and the other one deals with the ability of the president to assign a board member to temporarily act as a committee chairman in the absence of both chairmen, especially when you're going to be conducting your committee meetings. We had that problem last year for two of the time.
You want to have public comment after?
All right. With respect to the compensation. I think if we're going to use any money to pay, this is just, you know, this is for discussion. I would strike Section 9 in its entirety. I don't think this is, I feel awkward personally taking the money. I know I can refuse it under the government code and all of that, but my suggestion would be if we're going to expend money for directors to do things, it would be for like the trainings and the everything that we have to go to and leave it at that. So I would, my proposal would be to just, we don't need money for meetings. It doesn't, it's not enough to make a difference. This is something, I mean, if I was going to bill my time at it, at what I do for a living, even the teaching, it's not, it's a token contribution. I know I discussed this with someone back in the summer when I first got on. When I first got on the board, I thought, well, hey, that's nice. It's a little bit of a token for my time. But anyway, I know there's other districts that don't do this, and I'd be open to discussing this with the rest of you, but I feel uncomfortable having this.
Okay, thank you. Any other comment?
Yeah, well, I have a comment on that, and then I'd have another suggestion, but and don't take this wrong, but the director's compensation may not matter to you or somebody else on the board, but it may matter to other people. So I think having it in there, you have the option of not taking it, but it may matter to somebody else. So I think I'm in favor of keeping it in there just because there are other people that may be important to that may want to run for the district and otherwise may not. So That's my comment on that. I would also like to suggest in 11.1B, and this came up tonight, but where the president appoints the non-voting chair and vice chair, I would like to add in language there about in consultation with the board. So that's my proposal. So I'd like to keep 9 just for future purposes, and I propose adding that language to 11.1 point B, or subsection B, pardon me.
Okay, any other comment?
I was forwarded an email that referenced government code section that capped compensation for directors of community service districts at $100 a meeting. I didn't really take the time to research that government code section. I don't know if it's true or not. Are we certain about?
Yes. What happens, though, the water code allows directors to receive additional compensation under the water code. And so that's why you'll see, for instance, at Templeton, they get $150 a meeting, and that's because of the verbiage in the water code. So we did research that just to make sure.
Okay, any other comment?
Actually, I'm in favor of just leaving 9 where it is. Ironically, I'm refinancing a mortgage, and I was told, gee, you should have done this before you retired, because even though your net salary has increased, your gross dropped. And it looks like that $200 a month from the CSD just may put you over the top for your refinance. Unbelievable. And I still don't want 9 changed.
Okay. I have an editorial comment on this. Has to do with 11B also, and it's the paragraph regarding, I believe this is for a committee member appointment.
That's correct.
For each member, where each member of the board of directors may nominate one public voting member with the alternate appointed by the president, all being confirmed by the board. With our our split, now that we have the 3 and the 2 every 2 years, does that still work? I'm just bringing that up for discussion.
Okay. Yes, it does work, but what you might want to do, we might want to specify that it happens every year for those members that are being appointed for the alternate year, and to put some verbiage in there relative to that.
Okay.
Yeah,
to clarify that, because it's muddy.
Sure, not a problem.
And then under 12, we have the ethics training, but I think the law has changed. We have harassment training.
Yes,
now.
You're required to take harassment training
you
also.
You have that put in there, too.
Yes. Which one is that under which one?
12. Ethics training, so.
Yes, we'll write something with regards to harassment.
Okay, right.
And the board president can make that decision.
Okay.
Right. And
thank you for clarification.
11.2, Marshall's talking about this, the ad hoc, where the board can appoint 2 directors for an ad hoc committee.
Yeah, just for clarification, 11.1J is for committee members, and 11.2 is for board members.
For board members, right. Subcommittees are committees, and ad hoc is directors. Okay, any other comments? No, before we open it to the public? Okay, public comment.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Whose idea was it to give the board members a raise? I wanted to know the answer to that. I don't think it came from the board. To be a board member, you have to get elected and usually have to spend a lot of money. And I don't think $100 is going to make a difference in the quality of the people that are serving here. So I would be very much opposed to changing the whatever you're getting, around $100 a month or whatever it is that you're getting. And I don't see any reason, if you want a cost of living increase or something like that, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But that's a very small amount, you know. But I think, you know, when we look at the troubling times we have, the drought we're in, and all the rest of it, why would we even consider giving the board members a raise? You know, I know Ms. Kibley just got a nice fat raise from the last board, and, you know, good for her, you know, but it's not good for us. And although it's not a lot of money, and we're not having a lot of board meetings, right? We're having like, something like six less or something like that. So there is more money. But I don't think that I would, if I was on your shoes, I wouldn't sit there and feel comfortable with that. So I support what Mr. Stern, Director Stern says, and I think Tanowski said as well. I may be wrong about that. I don't mean to be putting words in your mouth, but I think Mr. Cecilia felt the same way. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Marshall, I want to agree with you on, was it 9B or whatever, about the board being involved in the process. And I also want to agree with you about leaving the compensation in. I don't believe any of you need, knowing your professional background or previous professional background, need $25 additional a month. But I have hoped for years, wished for years, that somebody on fixed income, somebody retired on fixed income, would run and get seated on this board to bring that perspective to this community. When we're talking increases in rates, we're talking the burden of the wastewater project, that perspective of what they're going through. And for that person, $100 can make a huge difference, you know, compensating them for their time. They're already struggling to get by day to day. In this community, we know it. We see it at the food giveaways. We see it at the other organizations that help those in need. I think you can, like you said, you can refuse it, but I think it needs to stay in there. And I would hope down the road somebody would run. You know, I've talked about the budget before and the issues, and we didn't have enough meetings to get everything ironed out. Your line item for director's compensation in your budget is $17,000. $100 a meeting, you have 12 a year, times five, that's $6,000. You have three committees when you were meeting monthly, two directors, that's $300 a month. Let's say you hold a special meeting or something. The maximum it could have been is maybe 10,000, 11,000. You know, another one of those things that, you know, we're not talking, I don't go after the $10 items. We're talking $6,000 minimum.
That got sense that numbers match up. There are some important parts of your job description that I would rather see you concentrating on than bringing up this whole issue of giving everybody raises. I know that you just got one, and you must be feeling the holiday spirit, but it does matter to ratepayers whether you came into this position without looking for compensation reasons. You came in because you want to serve. Well, then, you know, Ms. Kivley decides that maybe that's what's really important is that you get paid more. I don't quite understand. I don't know. You shouldn't be here for the money. And I, again, wish Ms. Kivley would concentrate on things that need to be done as a general manager.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I will start on... Oh, I can't see those little numbers. Page 4 of 11. Policy 4.3 B, members of the audience who wish to address the board on a particular item shall line up behind the podium or sit in the front two rows. We have not seen that work. I think it can go. This room's not that big, and really, the chair, before they close public comment, should open it up to anybody who may have been inspired while that line was accumulating. 4.3D, again, persons addressing the board shall state their name and their general place of residence. Their place of residence is irrelevant, absolutely irrelevant. Their name is not required by the Brown Act. If you want to have it in your bylaws, or like you have on your agenda where you're asking, please state your name before addressing the board, you may say, please state your name, but you can't require it. And you may say, you may change how your agenda is formatted to say, for the benefit of the clerk, please state your name, but it's not required. And that's because if people don't feel like they're protected, then, you know, by giving their name, then they won't participate at all. So let them participate without that silly requirement. 4.4C is voluntarily removing a person from the room. The chairperson may order any law enforcement officer who is on duty at the meeting. We don't want officers on duty at our meetings, so I don't like that sentence at all. And the last thing I'll bring up, and it came up early last year when Director Vogel moved out of the district and into Zone 9I, we talked about expanding the committee appointment, at least for the Emergency Services Committee, into Zone 9I so that people who are represented in that portion of the district that we serve through our emergency services could serve on our committees and be part of the participation, since they are taxpayers, ratepayers, and beneficiaries of the services of our fire department. And that never came back. I remember Mr. Wright actually reporting that at LOCAC, that you would consider adding that to the bylaws, and I think we should diversify.
Thank you. Any further speakers? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Further discussion? Ready, Marshall?
Yeah, I'd like to, I don't know if you want to discuss, but let me make a motion so we can have some parameters for discussion, if that's okay with everybody. Based on my feelings and what I've heard, I think that I'd like to just go through it in the order that I have it numerically here. So under item 9, which is director's compensation, I still believe that we should leave that item in there. But what I would agree with is that on item 9.1 and 9.2, we leave the existing compensation there, because I don't really see raising it from $100 to $125 makes that much difference. So I'd like to propose, this is my motion, that 9.1 and 9.2 stay the way they are. I do understand why 9.4 should go up, though, because, for example, on a day that we have a meeting, if there's a RAC meeting in the afternoon or an ISJ meeting in the afternoon, which happened today, somebody could be spending their whole day and evening. So I think that that limitation on a day going up to 200 would be fine. So I would propose in 9.1 and 9.2 we leave it the way it is, and we increase 9.4 in accordance with staff recommendation. And with the understanding, as 9.5 says, that director compensation cannot exceed $600 in any one month regardless. So that's been in there forever. So we're not giving anybody additional compensation. We're just, in my mind, just allowing, if there is multiple meetings in one day, that person wouldn't be penalized. So that's what I'd propose on 9. Leave 9.1, 9.2 the same. Go with staff recommendation on 9.4. And then I would like to, on 11B, add the language that I proposed at the end, in consultation with the board. And those are really the only two changes that I would propose. Or pardon me, that's my motion, I guess.
The Well, the only thing I'd like to add is make sure we get that 12, the harassment training included.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Okay.
And I'll add that. I'll amend that to my motion.
Okay, thank you.
And will you also add the every other year clause that we're going to yes. have to? Thank you.
So those will be the items of my motion. If the seconder agrees, that will be my motion.
Okay. Any other discussion? A second?
However, the money that you could use in different ways to make fulfilling the task of being a director, especially for someone who can't afford out-of-town travel and all those things like that, is something to consider in the budgetary process. So, anyway, I can live with the motion as proposed, but I would just plant that bug in everybody's ear that maybe there's different ways to use this money.
Okay, thank you. Okay, ready for a vote, please?
Director, Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Storm.
Yes.
President Wright.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to 12B, the Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, Special District Member Election. General Manager Kibley.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. President and members of the board. It's the time of year where we have the Local Agency Formation Commission Special District Member Election. As you note, you recommended that Marshall Ohilski be nominated for the Special District Member. We had submitted that information, and before you this evening is the vote. And the motion is that the board enter a vote for Marshall Ohilski as a LAFCO Special District Member and direct staff to submit the completed ballot. With that, it concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? No? Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Get a motion, please.
I'd like to move that the board enter a vote for Marshall Ohilski as LAFCO Special District Member and direct staff to submit the completed ballot.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, may we have a vote count, please?
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
I'm actually going to vote yes on myself.
And President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to number 14. 13, there's no pulled items. 14, future agenda items. The request from the board members to receive feedback, direct staff to prepare information, and or request a formal agenda report be prepared and the item placed on future agenda. Mr. Ohilski.
Well, I would like to see an update on the Palisades as well, definitely. I don't think there's any question about that. And I would also like to see an update on the nitrate removal facility, which I know we authorized that today, but I'd also like to get an update on that.
So thank you.
Those are the two items that are okay. in my mind right now.
I would like to see at some point, as soon as possible, the rationale for the property taxes from Golden State ratepayers going to support the CSD's water company. I really need to see something from our attorney that explains why that's legal. And why a class action suit wouldn't just knock us out of the water. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Director Tornowski? Nothing? Okay. Thank you. Director Storm? No? Okay. I'd like a couple items. Is for the January 21st UAC meeting, the creek discharge, I want that discussed, and then we'll bring it back for a presentation on the February 5th board meeting, so we can have a first presentation on that and get public comment. And I also agree with the for the PG&E update on the Palisades well. I know there's some potential litigation possibly, but I think we need to get an update. And with that, any closing board comments?
Happy New Year, everyone. It's kind of different, and I hope that this time around that this was as contentious as the meetings get. I really would like to see us work together to resolve the problems of the district. I really would. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would second what Director Cesena said. I think the meeting outside was contentious, but I thought we worked well here, and for our part was positive. And wish everyone a happy new year as well. Once again, welcome to Director Cesena and Director Trinotsky. It's going to be a pleasure serving with everybody. Congratulations to President Wright and Vice President Ohilski. Capable leadership. So have a good night to everybody.
Okay, thanks.
I would like us to move forward with tangible accomplishments that we can express in a way that people out there will understand.
Yeah, for me, yes.
And also the re-election of Director Storm. And I think we do have a good skill set here. I think it's going to be a good year to work with everybody. And also, Happy New Year and good night.